This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Fun. He's a columnist with the Wall Street Journal and the author of the book Stealing Elections, How Voter Fraud Threatens Our Democracy. We want to get his insight on stories coming out of Nevada and North Carolina suggesting that some of the machines being used for early voting are not just malfunctioning, but malfunctioning in very strange ways, including voters trying to vote for Sharron Angle in Nevada, opening up the booth and finding out that the box for Harry Reid has already been checked, and those trying to vote straight-line Republican, at least in one area in North Carolina, are finding out that the machine is casting an entire slate of ballots for the Democratic candidates, and it took several attempts to fix the problem. And John, thanks very much for being with us.
A pleasure.
As you read these stories, and obviously we're just learning about these in the last day or two, do you get the sense that these are just gremlins in the system? Is there a programming problem, or could there be outright fraud here?
Look, my book is about two things. It's about voter fraud, which is the intentional subversion of an election. It's also about voter machine incompetence and voter official incompetence. You know, we have low bids contracting for these machines. We don't necessarily get the most sophisticated machines. You know, the ATM machine that you use and trust your money with, those cost 10 times what the voting machines that we use are. So I guess we value our money 10 times more than our democracy in some respects. The bottom line is, at least this is happening in early voting. We can catch it. We can fix the computer programming. It's obviously disturbing. But, you know, this has happened with Democrats, too. So I think the incompetent mistakes often sort themselves out. What I'm worried about is two things. I'm worried about actual voter fraud, and I think that can be a problem, has been a problem in many races. And then what I would call practice incompetence. People who interpret the law so loosely, so vaguely, in such a biased fashion that you can't tell where the voter fraud ends and the incompetence begins.
We're talking with John Fund. And John, with the explanation coming from the election officials in Clark County, Nevada, which is where this problem happened with the Senate race on those electronic machines, was that, well, these are older voters probably. They're very sensitive screens. But according to the voters, it happened to about seven or eight of them. So
I think there's probably a computer glitch, and it needs to be fixed. Of all of the counties that I know of around the country, I think Clark County is probably one of the best voting officials in the country running it. So these electronic machines, we probably have to spend more money on them. We probably have to be more careful about the software. You know, you get the democracy you pay for. So I think what we've got here are, you know, government is often incompetent. This sounds like an example of that. And let's make sure we get it fixed so that when the vast majority of people vote on Election Day, everything moves smoothly.
We've heard in the past people from all different sides wanting to make sure there's a paper trail just to confirm that a voter's intentions have, in fact, been cataloged. For the most part, does that paper trail exist around the country with all these machines?
Most of the voting machines do create a paper trail. You know, for the best machines, it probably is not necessary, but the bottom line is voters want that level of confidence. When you go to the ATM machine, you want to be able to carry out a paper receipt with you. Now, the problem is this. We have to have machines where they give you a paper trail or some kind of record of your vote that you feel confident with, but that doesn't tell you exactly how you voted, because here's the problem. You could take that outside and get paid off for it. In other words, you could show it to somebody who'd give you cash because you'd have proof you voted a certain way. So we're going to have machines, if ultimately we give people a receipt, that voters perhaps can scrutinize but can't take with them out of the polling place.
John, you mentioned that it's good that this is being discovered now before Election Day while early voting is going on. What's your analysis so far, and I know it's a pretty limited history of early voting, about whether this is just as safe and just as well protected as the voting on Election Day, or whether it's had its own issues?
Well, early voting is probably fine because it's done in government office buildings or under the supervision of government officials. Absentee voting, which is where you have a ballot mailed to you, it's out of the purview or look of any election official, absentee voting is fraught with potential fraud. You can be intimidated by a spouse, by an employer, by a union. You can have your ballot filled out for you by someone else if you're in an old age home and not particularly feeling well or sentient. And also, of course, you know, you can have ballots sent to vacant lots and other places, and they can be cast from those locations. So of all of the voter fraud that I worry about, it's absentee voter fraud, where the ballot is outside of the reach of government officials, that I worry about most.
And is there any good way to improve on the assurance that those votes are being done the way they should be?
Well, two things. I think some states have too many absentee voters. It's a convenience, but we probably lose too much in ballot security. I think absentee voting should be restricted to people who are going to be out of town, people who are bedridden, people who are sick, people who live very far from a polling place. We probably should have maybe 10% of the people voting absentee. In some now cases, we now have 25%. That's probably too much. Secondly, we can have more security. We could ask people to send in a photocopy of their photo identification. We could perhaps ask people to leave a fingerprint mark on their voting ballot. If they want the convenience of voting absentee, which means they're giving up a secret ballot, why not give up a fingerprint that we can compare the fingerprint on the ballot with the fingerprint that's on file at the election office?
Two quick questions before we let you go, John. First of all, it sounds like you're not a big fan of the Oregon and Washington state laws where virtually all of it's done through the mail.
Well, let me ask you one question. Let's say you mail 100 first-class letters. Do you have complete confidence that the U.S. Post Office will deliver all of them?
Relative confidence, but not entirely, no.
Well, if you have 100 ballots that go out, one of them is missing, that could be the margin of difference in an election. You see my point?
Sure.
I don't think we should have the level of confidence that the votes are counted properly or completely or counted at all with absentee voting or all-mail elections.
And final question, what if someone ends up at a polling station and what happened in Nevada or what happened in North Carolina happens to them while they're in the booth, should the initial instinct be, this is a glitch, it'll probably be taken care of pretty quickly, or should they worry that something nefarious is going on?
I think the third option, which is you tell the election officials in no uncertain terms that this is a mistake, you make sure that you're not part of that mistake because, frankly, some voters do make mistakes and they blame it on the machine. But you definitely want to raise the warning sign because if it happened to you, it can happen to the next person in line.
Certainly true. John, very interesting. We'll certainly have a lot to monitor next week. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. A real pleasure.
Oh, same here. John Fund, a columnist for The Wall Street Journal, author of Stealing Elections, How Voter Fraud Threatens Our Democracy. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.